Genesis chapter 8. Go to chapter 8. This is still dealing with the past. We still consider the past. And I made reference this morning to the fact that man's heart was on evil continually. Not long after that Adam and Eve are cast out of the garden, even among their first two boys, we see a murder happen. We don't. That Cain would slay Abel. And so human race is set on a course where they're following their own instincts, their own lusts, their own desires. God is a part of their society. God is a part of their everyday life. But man gradually grows away from God. And when we get to, as early as chapter 5, we see that that God decides to judge the earth, and that starts on 5, 6, and 7 in Genesis. And we come to the fact where Noah would build the ark. Noah would build, and the flood would come. God would judge. But where does this leaf come in? The olive leaf comes in toward the end of the punishment or the judgment. And as the dove is sent out and returns with an olive leaf in its mouth, in its beak. And so it told Noah that, hey, vegetation is being restored. We already know from the beginning of the chapter that the waters were abated or started to dry up. And so I like this. In the past, that the olive leaf kind of symbolizes hope for us. Hope in the midst of judgment, right? So there's hope in the midst of judgment. So we look at our past, we see even back to the very beginning of mankind where they grab a covering for sin. But then even when all of mankind is in a sinful state and God comes and judges, there's a hope. There's that olive leaf as a hope of judgment's passing. That now we can read on and find out that Noah and his family are let out, and God gives the rainbow, and judgment is passed, and these ones have come through that judgment, right? Come through on the other side of the judgment, and now vegetation is restored. The fact that they're going to be able to live in the earth again and populate the earth again. And so we have that, kind of those two instances symbolizing the past. Now, didn't have an olive leaf either, but you know. Maybe that was the mystery leaf down there that we couldn't identify. Psalm 1, please. Psalm 1. Here we find a leaf mentioned again. And this makes me think of the present. Psalm 1 makes me think of the present. Excuse me. Psalm 1 and verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, I think it's good for us to make the connection in verse 2 that the rivers of water symbolize the scripture. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This verse tells us several different things about the individual that plants himself near the source of life, the one that meditates on the scripture day and night. And it also talks about bearing fruit, and it talks about a leaf that does not wither, a healthy leaf, if you will. Right now, it's time we have this pecan tree. By the way, Mr. Adcock, I got this out of the backyard over here. Okay, so we got this pecan tree, and it's been healthy all summer, and it's bearing pecans. In fact, Jenna and I counted, what did we count? 8 squirrels at one time right there. All over the place. 8 squirrels working hard on those pecans, right? So, but it's bearing fruit. That's the fruit. The pecans are the fruit there. It's bearing its fruit. and the leaf has not withered during its season of fruit bearing. And so right now it's coming to, we're going to talk about this in a little bit, about some of these that maybe are prematurely withering. But we have that aspect of the present, that we that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can drink in the Word that's vital for our leaf not to wither and for us to be able to bear fruit. I was with the Good News on the Move team. Our third team, we tried to always do our training or orientation at a camp. So we picked Mountaintop Youth Camp to start things off. But then we went to some other camps. The third year, we went to Storybook Lodge, great camp in the upper Minnesota, right? And so they had this, they're in that Minnesota area, northern Minnesota. There's a lot of lakes around. And the camp is fortunate to be right up against a lake. The property, in fact, the property goes into the lake, and even they own a little island out in the lake. And so there was this, I think it was a sycamore tree. And they had a boating program that were canoes and all down by this lake. And as I was walking down there just to kind of look over the property and do some reconnaissance. No, just kidding. But as we were looking over the property, this sycamore tree caught my attention. Here it was, just right on the bank. I mean, if I'm the water, there's the tree, right? The podium is the tree. Just right there. And it was huge. It was magnificent. And as I kind of looked around, that caught my attention. And I looked around, there was another one that was maybe about 30 yards back this way, and another one that was back over here. And they were smaller, right? This one in the center, it was just towering over these. And it made me think of this verse, that they that are planted by the rivers of water, and here this sycamore tree planted right on the bank of that lake, and the river actually connected the lakes, running that water, that fresh source of water running through, and how much it had grown, and how healthy it was right there, and just connected with that source. You know, we in our present day, we have Christians, ourselves included, where our leaves are withering. We just, we were doing the program, you know, this past week I was telling you about. I was excited to see how the Lord worked among the hearts of these young men, 13 to 18 years old. And in working with one of them, I had asked him how things are going for him spiritually. And he said, well, I'm in kind of a dry time right now. Things aren't going so good. And as we talked about this a little bit more, I asked him, I said, so what are you doing for a daily Bible reading? Well, not. Well, how often would you say that you're reading your Bible? Well, I mean, you know, maybe once a month. How can we expect anything but dry, right? I mean, it's a simple principle, but we can all fall subject to that, right? So I'm not being critical of the young man, but I'm just saying that the Scripture is clear. Those planted by the rivers of water, the person that meditates day and night on the Scripture, he will bear fruit. His leaf will not wither. And so we can all take a lesson from that we need the Scripture. We need it. We need it for life. We need it for our Christian walk. We need it to avoid the dry. We need it to fight temptation. And so all those things, God has given us what we need in the Scripture. And so what a reminder in the present day that to stay connected to the Word to avoid the withered leaf. You know, turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 brings us another example of a leaf in Scripture. And it's almost a direct contrast to what we see in Psalm 1. Psalm 1 tells us of a leaf that will not wither. It's taken in the water source. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 30. Notice what it says. For ye, Isaiah 1:30, for ye shall be as an oak whose leaf faileth, and as a garden that hath no water. The situation he's referring to here is the person of God is being removed from the water, being removed from the life source. And so what is happening? The leaf is fading. The leaf is fading as a garden that has no water. I don't know how many gardeners we have in here, but you got to water the garden, don't you? Especially in August when it's not raining. And so we have this concept of a leaf fading. Now I took this off the pecan tree, and you'll notice that, I mean, granted, we are in the stages of the fall season where the leaves are going to start to turn and to die. But I'd like to point out to you, just by way of illustration, that, in fact, this one's getting so faded that it's falling apart. But when we remove ourselves from the source, and there is a premature fading, okay? In the sense that, look at these leaves right here. This is on a tree that should be healthy and bearing fruit, and it's fading. These are fading. These are already dead. I would say that, in fact, there was some. I don't think I meant to grab one. There was some branches on that tree that were already pretty much shriveled up and dead. So just a reminder not to remove ourselves from the source of life. And if we remove that, then that'll just die the rest of the way, won't it? But a premature fading, and we see that even among ourselves as a body of Christ. Now, there's another fading that's natural, okay? So you have the leaf that doesn't wither in the present. You have the leaf that prematurely withers or fades. And then also in the book of Isaiah, look at Isaiah 64. And you'll see the leaf that naturally fades. Isaiah 64 and verse 6. Isaiah 64, 6 says this, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags." Notice this, "We do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." We would all have to agree, that the statement that Isaiah makes there is true, that we all fade like the leaf. We can look at different seasons of life. We think about the seasons of spring, summer, and fall and winter. We think about the four seasons, but we sometimes refer to seasons of life. The teenage years, you know, the early years, so to speak, the middle age years as seasons. These are different seasons of life. And this verse says that we all do fade as a leaf. You know, there is a natural fading. That's not to say that just because the leaf dies that it did a bad thing, or the leaf turns color that it did a bad thing. That there are phases. I saw some leaves as I was out walking today and picking up some of these things. Some are fresh and tender, right? Fresh, tender, new leaves, new growth. And others like this, this is a good example, I think, of you've got the green right here. You've got, look at this one here. It's half turned, so to speak, in a different stage. Then you've got this one that's all the way turned and maybe showing a few brown spots on it. These in a variegated way in a turning. This is a natural progression. Now, we all agree that the fall time is beautiful, don't we? And that really in a natural growth pattern for a believer, that all seasons are beautiful. And see, that we have that time, that tender green enthusiasm. Well, maybe you make some mistakes and that, but it's a beautiful time in its own way. We have that the one that's maybe in the peak of its strength, so to speak, beautiful in its own way, in its season. We have those in the later times of life. Changing color can be beautiful, right? Gray is beautiful, right? And so there is a season of life. We see it, if we recognize it, if we stop and recognize it, like I see my father, now as a grandfather to my children, doing things that I couldn't do, relating to them in a way that I don't relate to them. But he's got that role, and God's using him in that way, beautiful in his season, right? I don't know if you've... I just had a chance to visit with a dear sister who, a godly woman, and just sitting with her, she's 85 years old, 85 years old, and we had a wonderful visit together, and just, you know, she just emulates Christ. I mean, just, it's so refreshing talking with her. I know that I've had other opportunities like that. Just some believers, you know, you just think they're so Christ-like. They're so willing and desirous to please Christ. So attractive, so beautiful in that way. All in a different season of life. And so we can you can hold your finger there in Isaiah if you want to, but look over to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And would one of the young men read that for us? Now, remember, I define young men as 20 or under. Okay? So how about read Ecclesiastes chapter 3 when you get that? Not the whole chapter. 3:11. 3:11. That's right. So in this, as we're thinking about the present, and we think about the present, the leaf that is strong, the leaf that is connected to the life source, and we think about the leaf that maybe prematurely fades, but then the other ones that naturally fade and do as they should in their own season. God, a reminder that all things are beautiful in its time. And so we remind ourselves as well, a familiar verse in Romans that would say that all things work together for good. And so we think about just the beauty of these things that God would bring about. You know, this leaf, is we've talked about a leaf that fades prematurely, and we've talked about a leaf that fades naturally. Well, did you know there's a leaf in Scripture that fades not? And that's the next one we want to go to, is Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 7. I'm sorry, 47. Did I say 7? Ezekiel chapter 47. In Ezekiel chapter 47 and verse 12, we find this verse. It says, "And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat." And notice this phrase, "whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to its months, because the waters they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine." We see this. This is actually a prophetic occurrence of when Ezekiel is referring to the tree of life. We see the tree of life back in the garden, and we remember that sin entered, right, when Adam and Eve partook of that tree. We reminded ourselves of the fig leaf and that thought about the past. But even in the midst of the past, it was that little ray of hope. The present of being planted like a tree, of a leaf that would not wither. And this leaf that right here, the one that does not fade, it speaks to us about the future, doesn't it? So now we've seen all three of these. The past, the present, and the future. Ezekiel refers to this tree of life that is going to be reestablished in the future, yet future, and it's mentioned twice. The leaf of it is described as one that would not fade. So it would not take this course of, of natural, as what we understand today as a leaf growing young and tender and maturing and then turning its color and then dropping off and dying. The leaf does not fade. And then it says its leaf will be used as medicine. And so we find this as a leaf yet future. Turn over to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. And we see this prophecy mentioned again and explained a little bit more for us in Revelation 22. Revelation 22 and verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, as clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. We won't make mention of it now, but notice the water. Verse 2, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree, the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And so we see that as oftentimes the Word of God so just kind of knit together in a lot of neat ways, we see the very opening of the book of Genesis, a tree of life. And of course, this tree of life is taken and the fruit thereof is taken, but it's going to be reestablished or seen again. And so we see the opening of Scripture with a tree and the close of Scripture with a tree. And these, Ezekiel referred to the tree that it would not fade, it would not wither. And the fact that it would be, the leaves would be used for medicine. And Revelation tells us more clearly that the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And so we have this yet future. We know that, we can look in Scripture and even see these different types of leaves that have been used, the fig leaf or the olive leaf. The oak leaf was mentioned. And then some of these places where the tree of life is mentioned as well, reminding us of the past and where we were in the past, reminding us of the present, of what we can be and how we can take advantage of that source of life, the river. The things that God has for us now in growth and maturity. And yet, thinking of the future, of the things that are yet to come. You know, whenever we read about, and back in Genesis, when we read that brief little account in Genesis chapter 3, and man is covering himself with the fig leaf. Man and woman decide, hey, I'm undone. I'm guilty. I'm ashamed before God. And God looks for them. And what do? They hide, right? They wanted to hide. They're trying to hide their sin, hide themselves from God. They're ashamed. And that's where we see ourselves in the past. But in Genesis or in Revelation chapter 22, we see a stark difference. You know, we see these things in the beginning, where man had made his mistakes and had fallen. And we see, really, between that time in Genesis and coming up to Revelation, in between God revealing His redemption's plan, we see a fig leaf, leaves of a fig tree that would cover, used to cover man's sin temporarily. We see at the very end this this tree of life being reestablished. And in between, we see a cross, don't we? Another tree, no leaves at all. The Lord Jesus Christ. The story of redemption, the payment for the penalty of sin. And so man in the garden was hiding from God. But now a redeemed man in Revelation chapter 22, redeemed mankind would say in verse 20, chapter 22 and verse 20, which he testified these things, saying, surely I come quickly. Amen. And notice that man would now say, Even so come, Lord Jesus. I was reminded of that as we have that on our door as we leave. That now man no longer is hiding from God. His sins have been paid for, dealt with. And instead of hiding, we say, even so come, Lord Jesus. We look forward to being reunited with Him. Well, let's conclude our time with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do give thanks for this opportunity. Father, we're thankful of the reminders that we see in creation all around us. These things that we would sometimes neglect to identify and the beauty of Thy creation. We are thankful, Father, even for a little object lessons like the leaf, where we see that it can remind us of the past and the present of the future. Such a valuable object lesson to know that if we separate ourselves from the source of life, we wither. And Father, we pray that we would be saints that would be taking full advantage of the present. That we would plant ourselves by the river of water. That we would take in, as the psalmist describes, day and night in Thy Scripture. That we would drink it in. And perhaps we would say, like the psalmist, that Thy words are as sweet as honey. And when I found them, I did eat them, I consumed them, I took them in. Father, give us a fresh realization of the necessity of being in Thy Word on a consistent basis. We pray, Father, for just the ability to please Thee. We pray that we might be a light and a shining witness, an example to others. Father, we pray that we would recognize just what Thou would have for us in every season of life. And we pray for these things now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.